When Chris and I got together to record our division previews, something went horribly awry with our Northwest division predictions. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to save the digital file. But now it's okay. We can re-record everything 15 games into the season, and we can laugh and laugh at the atrocity that is the state of Alberta hockey. I'm Jason Carrillo.
And I'm Chris Withers.
And we are Pucked in the Head. Howdy, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing excellent. It's been quite a while.
It has been a long time. You went to Mexico.
I did. And shortly thereafter, you spawned.
My wife had a baby, not related to your trip to Mexico. Interestingly.
Although she is Mexican.
She is Mexican, but you going to Mexico and her having a baby were not related, as she was in Canada the entire time that you were in Mexico.
There's also that 9-month incubation period that I believe applies in most instances.
That is very true. So, welcome back to Canada, and you met my beautiful daughter.
I did. She is quite lovely.
Even though she cried and puked in your presence.
I have that effect on women.
That's true. I've seen it. I've seen it before. You also were very kind. You and your lovely fiance gave us our first hockey-related baby gift.
I don't believe that.
Aw, it really is?
Really?
Yeah, the first one. So now...
How does nobody know you better than that?
I think they just figured that I have already purchased every possible baby girl hockey product already.
Have you?
No. Oh, okay. No, I was hoping to get them all as gifts, so... I really appreciate you bringing a little pink shirt with a Canucks logo on it.
There's a British comedy sketch in this somewhere.
With the exception of the hockey part.
Right.
Speaking of which, we should probably get into it.
We should.
So we're going to talk about the Northwest Division a little bit. Not as long as the previews we did because, we don't need to preview the season. We're 15 games in.
And quite frankly, the Northwest Division, other than Vancouver right now, is not worth talking about.
Holy Hannah, is Alberta hockey... awful.
Let me lay this out for our listeners.
Please.
The Calgary Flames presently 14th place in the Western Conference, 14 points. The Edmonton Oilers are dead last in the Western Conference, a place they're becoming accustomed to.
Tied for dead last in the whole darned league.
Yeah, 11 points in 16 games, minus 24 goal differential.
They are a bad team.
Not good.
But it's not just the NHL, because this is the amazing thing.
No,
how are Calgary and Edmonton doing in the WHL? Do you mind telling me that?
There is no escape for hockey fans. It's not like us in Vancouver, where we can go and watch the Giants, because they usually put a good product out there, too.
And the Calgary Hitmen?
The Calgary Hitmen, dead last in the Central Division, and...
The Edmonton Oil Kings?
Well, they're fifth place and third last in the conference.
What in good gravy is going on in Alberta? That's horrible.
I don't know. Here we are concerned because, you know, Phoenix and Atlanta and Florida can't draw fans. You know what? The Saddle Dome's going to be empty in 2 years at this rate.
I mean, these are cities that devour their hockey.
Yeah.
They love hockey. How can it be that multiple teams in these cities are so atrociously bad at the same time?
Brent Sutter. He's responsible for both teams failing, actually.
For the Edmonton Oilers?
Yes. I don't know how.
Brent Sutter is the cause of the Edmonton Oilers' woes.
He has an aura.
Kevin Lowe has nothing to do with it. Tom Rennie behind the bench. Pat Quinn. No fault of his at all.
Okay, Edmonton, it's Chris Pronger's fault. Or at least his wife's. I think when Chris Pronger's wife basically forced him out of the province.
Or so we think.
That started a chain reaction. People started to look at Edmonton and go... wow, this is not a very good team in an absolutely atrocious city. They said, I don't want to play there. And so now you've got guys like Sheldon Surrey who fall out with the team.
To be fair, Sheldon Surrey was actually told by the team not to report. So it wasn't the Sheldon Surrey.
You know there was more to it than
I'm
that.
I'm just saying that the team shipped him out of town. They didn't want him in training camp.
He had a bad attitude.
And they didn't want him poisoning the young players on the team, which they've got some young exciting players there. Jordan Eberle's first NHL goal is going to be a highlight goal for years to come.
Thank you. I almost forgot about that because the team has been so terrible. I mean, they lost 8-2 to the Rangers, who are nothing special.
And they lost 1-0 to Carolina at one point. Yeah. I didn't even know it was possible to score 1 million goals in one hockey game.
And yet it happened.
And yet it happened. Carolina. Eric Staal, 500,000 points in that game.
Well, okay. Let me lay out exactly what's wrong with the Edmonton Oilers right now, it stands. They have a quite spectacular young core of forwards. They have a serviceable but aged goalie in Nikolai Habibulin. And they have nothing between.
Now, might I remind you, Nick Habibulin already, simply because of the volume of shots and quality opportunities he's faced already this season, he has been featured on a number of save of the year packages already. Outstanding work behind or between the pipes there in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
He's not letting in a lot of soft goals.
No. The goals look somewhat soft, but I mean, it's because the other team is just getting such glorious opportunities on such a regular basis.
So what about the Flames? Now, you said it's all Brent Sutter. It seems that everyone in hockey knows that Brent Sutter is the problem, and yet he's still in charge.
I can't explain it.
It's very similar to pretty much everyone in hockey knowing that Glenn Sather is the reason for the Rangers being as bad as they are.
Yeah.
With the resources they have. The Maple Leafs, there's some sort of weird voodoo thing going on there because it doesn't matter who's in the general manager's office there. They stink. When John Ferguson was there, when Ken Dryden was there, now with Brian Burke, they're just awful. And I mean, that's not the GM's fault.
No, it's not. And I don't know what Calgary's problem is. Jerome Iginla, 3 goals on the season. Olli Jokinen, 2 goals on the season. Jay Bouwmeester, who I thought maybe would get back to his Florida form, 2 goals on the season. They're not scoring. Their leading goal scorer is Rene Bourque. Good young guy, but they weren't counting on him to put up 30, 40 goals.
No. Well, how many goals does he have?
Well, he's got 8 now.
Might I just say that at 8 goals, Rene Bourque has twice the number of Ilya Kovalchuk.
Alternately on the interwebs now known as Kovalchuk and nice. LOL nice. Volchuk.
LOL Volchuk. Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
It doesn't. It looks a lot funnier on Twitter, I think.
That's not something I will be saying very often.
That did you see the highlight, the shootout goal?
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about New Jersey's woes. We've got bad teams in the Northwest we can talk about.
Okay.
Calgary and Edmonton are lost causes this season.
What
about Minnesota and Colorado? Does Colorado have a shot of climbing into the playoffs?
They do. You know, they're not out of it by any stretch. Neither is Calgary at this point. Let's put it this way. Colorado's got a much better shot because of their core of players.
Now, you say Calgary is not out of it. Do you realize that right now they have to play 700 hockey for the rest of the season in order to get 95 points?
Really?
95 points was the threshold for making the playoffs in the Western Conference last year.
Okay, well, I'm going to look at it this way. They have to make up 4 points over the next 66 games to get into the playoffs, as it stands right now.
How do you figure?
They're only 4 points back.
4 points back of?
Columbus, San Jose, Minnesota, and Chicago.
Okay, but you're assuming that the other teams won't also pick up more points.
Well, that's what I said. They have to make up 4 points. Okay.
That was the statistic after their last game.
Okay, so then what does, for instance, Columbus or Minnesota have to do? Have you looked at that?
No, I haven't looked at that.
Okay,
where are they sitting right now?
Well, I mean, there's a big group of 4 teams that are tied with 18 points, sitting 7 through 10 right now. So, I mean, if Calgary decides to turn it around, and they do have the players, when they play up to their potential,
well, certainly
to do so.
Mika Kiprusoff can steal games for them.
Kiprusoff can steal games. Iginla's good for 2 or 3 goals on any given night. He can burst out.
I haven't seen Iginla play except against the Canucks for a while. I know that's a little bit odd to say, because usually I will watch a lot of out-of-market games, but of course, with the baby coming, I haven't been doing that.
Right.
So, have you seen Iginla play very much? What's the problem with this guy?
I haven't. I don't know. There's something affecting the entire Flames organization.
Now, much ballyhooed practice film of Jerome Iginla arguing with Sutter at a practice.
Yeah.
And it lasted a while. It wasn't just like 1 or 2 words. It was a good 30 seconds, 40 seconds Iginla skating around him as Sutter was calling out drills. The organization and Iginla himself have tried to play it down. Does there need to be a shakeup, not just in the front office? Does Iginla need a new team?
Do the Flames need to purge themselves of Sutters? I mean, they've got a coach, a general manager, and a player, all with the last name Sutter. All of them have been targeted for various reasons this year.
I really like Jerome Iginla. This is the kind of player I really enjoy watching. Whenever he suits up for Team Canada, I always like his style. I like the way he carries himself. I like the way he carries his team. Of course, I hate the Flames.
I hate the Flames too, but you know, at this point in his career, he's getting into Medano territory. And we touched on that a few episodes back. I would hate to see him go to another team.
It would really bother me to see Jerome Iginla playing for the Leafs, for example. Mm-hmm. That would really bug me. On the other hand, if he could have a resurgence there, if he could have whatever is poisoning his play, this is a guy who should be scoring. He was a Rocket Richard winner, for goodness sake.
Yep.
This is a guy who should be up in the ranks of Steve Stamkos and Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. He should be in that race. And he's scored 3 goals so far. Something's really wrong. He needs a change of scenery.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if he wants to leave.
I don't know. It's a tough question. Well, let's get away from Alberta because it is such a downer to talk. Both of these franchises are awful. At least with Edmonton, they're rebuilding with all of the youth. If they get another high draft pick and they draft well, you know, in a couple of years, these guys might be skating with the Pittsburghs and the Vancouvers.
Yeah, I think at some point they're going to have to either draft or parlay one of their draft picks into a top flight defenseman because that gap is just huge. Yeah, you know, they've got Ladislav Schmid on their top pairing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know because they're all terrible.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think that the Oilers have shown flashes of brilliance in this young season. These guys are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't make the playoffs, that's got to say something. If they've only got 11 points in their first 16 games, these guys are still fun to watch.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
They're right now they're 4-12 with 3 loser points.
Yeah. So anyway, what about we get into the Minnesota era? Mika Koivu is looking like he's the real deal.
Yeah.
For the money they paid.
5 years ago, you would have never expected that he would be even in Saku's conversation. But
maybe at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's making his brother proud.
He's an all-around player, too. And this is what Minnesota paid for, was they weren't just paying for a top-flight scorer. They were playing for a leader. They were playing for a minutes guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, his last contract he got because he was a shootout specialist.
Mm.
And he's gone way beyond that in Minnesota. And good for him.
Yeah. But they're not sitting in the playoffs at the moment.
No, they're in that group with 18 points. So they're tied. But whether they can keep up this pace, I don't know. Neither one of us predicted that they would be in the playoffs.
No, I mean, both of us came into the season thinking the Canucks would win the division handily, yep. Which they are doing.
Yeah.
They are playing quite well, and they're at the top of the... They're where they should be.
Yes.
At the top of the division with a good pillow of points. But we only predicted that Colorado would even threaten to make the playoffs, and the other three would kind of fall by the wayside.
That's right.
And that's kind of where things sit right now.
Well, I mean, Minnesota is threatening. Whether they can keep it up, I don't know.
Colorado's got Peter Budaj playing most of their games. Craig Anderson just didn't look like he was handling things very well at the beginning of the season. Peter Budaj's played a bunch of games in a row now, and he's not looking bad.
That can evaporate really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Budaj has been a liability even as a backup for that organization.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, Anderson played like 70 games last year because they just wouldn't put Budaj in.
That's true enough. One thing I do notice about the Vancouver Canucks, of course, we know the most about this team. The Vancouver Canucks are going to walk away with this division. I really think they are in danger, and I posted on CanucksCorner.com last night about this. I think they are in big danger of thinking too highly of themselves because of the low quality of opposition in their own division. Similar to the Washington Capitals running away with the Southeast for a couple of years, and then when they get some adversity in the playoffs, they fold. I'm wondering if the Canucks can manufacture a way to stay competitive.
Here's why I think that won't happen to them. The Central Division and the Pacific Division are immeasurably stronger than are the Northeast and the Atlantic. Washington has the past couple of years kicked the crap out of the Southeast Division and hasn't had too much more difficulty with anybody in the Atlantic or the Northeast. The Canucks are playing...
Really? Buffalo? Pittsburgh? And even Montreal?
And then...
Boston?
Well, I mean, Montreal and Boston have not, other than the playoff series between Montreal and Washington, have not given them very many problems. That's why Washington finished...
With 122 points.
Yeah. Now, Vancouver, they got to play 20 games against the Central Division and 20 more against the Pacific. And you look at that, those two divisions.
And right now, in those two divisions, we've got St. Louis doing even better than we expected them to do. And we've got the Anaheim Ducks completely blowing us out of the water because we picked them to finish... near the bottom of the conference.
Yeah.
They're surprising a lot of people.
Absolutely. But my point is that you look at top to bottom, those 10 teams that they have to play four games each against, they're a lot better than the other than the 10 teams in the divisions in the East.
Okay. So you're thinking that the Vancouver doesn't have to worry about, at least not too much, kind of getting a big head, playing all these games against the sad sack Northwest Division teams.
No, I don't think they do. The other thing is that the Canucks are notorious for playing down to their opposition's level.
Is something that really bothers me.
I mean, you look at last night's accidental win against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs had been shut out three times in the last eight games. They'd lost seven in a row, and they can't score from the blue line if you took the goalie out and, you know, pointed at the net for them.
Yeah.
And they scored three against the Canucks in the first 30 minutes of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, the Canucks really like to hand a chance to these lower teams. Edmonton, they were up 3-0, and they let Edmonton score three quick goals to get back in the game.
Yep.
And they won it on a fluke.
An almost identical fluke to the...
Very similar. Although, the one against the Leafs, Giguère had a clear look at the puck mm-hmm. from the blue line in.
Yeah.
And he just whiffed it. He just missed the puck. And at least Habib Boulin had an excuse because Rafi Torres' shot in that game kind of went through a maze of sticks and legs before it went past him.
Okay. Well, in any event, the Canucks are going to be playing competitive hockey against a lot of these teams because they allow them into the game.
See, I don't think that that's a good way to go. I
absolutely don't either.
These guys need a killer instinct. They need to stomp all over a weaker team.
I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, if we're looking at why the Canucks are not going to get a big head, it's because they keep spotting bad teams two-goal leads.
I don't know, man. It worries me. This is the team that pundits from around the continent are picking them to go far and deep in the playoffs, possibly win everything. They're picking Daniel Sedin to possibly, you know, challenge for the goal-scoring title, possibly challenge for a Hart Trophy to match his brothers at some point. This is not a team that should be allowing these teams to be in these games.
No.
It's very frustrating.
But at this point, the Canucks are doing something that they haven't always done. And that's finding ways to win. Even when, you know, they've spotted these teams, you know, like they spotted the Leafs a two-goal lead, even when they let Edmonton back into the game.
That's true.
I never got the sense that the Canucks were going to lose the game last night.
And this is true that in past years, other editions of the Canuck team would have folded and lost those games.
Yeah.
And they were actually renowned for finding ways to lose those games
mm-hmm.
that they should have won.
Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Exactly. And so I will give them this, that they are tending to win games they should not win. And right now they've won 8 out of the last 9 games. The only reason they lost in Montreal was a hot goalie. And they just couldn't beat Carey Price.
Mm-hmm.
Luongo only gave up 2 goals in Montreal. So they definitely had the chance to win. They just couldn't put the puck in the net for that one game. You know, this is a team that's scoring 3.2 goals a game right now. If Luongo only lets in 2 goals, they're going to win those games most of the time.
Yeah.
So statistically, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd still like to see them walk in and get more wins like what they did over New Jersey. New Jersey is a bad team in a bad way. They shut them out.
Yeah.
The Canucks have lost shutout bids for their goaltenders in the last 3 minutes of a game 3 times already this season. Twice for Corey Schneider
mm-hmm.
and once for Roberto Luongo. They tend to fold in the final parts of a period. It's almost like they're looking forward to the buzzer. They're not in the moment. They're too busy planning their trip to the next city, it seems. And this is a psychological aspect of the game that this very strong roster needs to address.
Yeah, that said, I really like where the team's going. I think they're going to do better than the second round this year.
I certainly don't see the way the Blackhawks are playing right now. I don't see the Blackhawks being the reason that they don't.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that the Blackhawks are playing in such a manner that a first round matchup is not inconceivable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. Just
because
they're in their heads. The Blackhawks are in the Canucks' heads.
Now, this is very interesting. Skin. This is very interesting because in the preseason, when we talked about this, I said that the Blackhawks were in the Canucks' heads. And you said you didn't think that that was going to be a factor this year. And now you've changed your mind? Is that what you're saying?
I think I have changed my mind. Part of it is what we just discussed. They are letting weaker teams hang around. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Blackhawks are a weaker team. They're showing that. And, you know, when the Canucks play the Blackhawks, it's going to be really interesting to see whether they can put them away like a weaker team or whether it's going to be a battle.
Well, one of the games that the Canucks did lose early in the year was to Chicago in the United Center. They let up a late goal that let Chicago in, and Chicago ended up winning the game.
Yeah.
So certainly that Chicago snake bite has already returned once this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible for the Canucks to overcome this. I do think they're a better team than Chicago. Just the bottom six is so much better, especially that third line.
The bottom six is great this year.
I wouldn't say great.
Okay, you've got, you know what, a fourth liner in the NHL has to not be a liability. And I don't think our fourth line has been a liability.
Peter Schaefer has been pretty much invisible in his re-up with the Canucks. Guillaume Desbiens has been more Guillaume des comme-ci-comme-ça. The guy has not done a hell of a lot.
I see what you did there. That was clever.
Thank you very much. And Tanner Glass, I mean, okay, he scored a goal the other night against Ottawa, but, you know, the stick boy scored a goal against Ottawa the other night.
They're not that bad.
Even, what's his noodle? Bliznak. Mario Bliznak gets called up. The guy's a character from a freaking video game. Mario Bliznak scored a goal against the Ottawa Senators. It's not a great fourth line. They need some more grit. I'd like to see a little bit more bang and crash.
We still need grit, do we?
I'd like to see some grit in that fourth line. The third line is doing a great job. Rafi Torres, of course, was the first star of the NHL a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Matty Malholtra has been a demon in the faceoff circle, and he's just been really, really solid.
Yannick Hansen, I think, has been on the ice for maybe one or two goals.
Yannick Hansen has been very responsible defensively. I just wish the guy could get some hands. He is almost always in the right place at the right time. He just cannot put the puck in the net.
You can't give a guy hands. You can't do it.
Well, I wish I could. I wish I could give the guy hands.
People looking at Yannick Hansen and saying, oh, when he gets hands, he's going to be a great player, are deluding themselves. He's not going to. Look at Steve Bernier.
No, I don't want to look at Steve Bernier.
It was the same thing we always said. Oh, if only he didn't have hands of stone.
Oh, but do you know what he now has? A face full of ground beef. Did you see the butt end he took?
I didn't see the clip, but I heard
about it. Oh my goodness. He got, and I can't remember the player who did it to him, but the guy took, it wasn't even a butt end.
Brent Burns, I think, wasn't it?
Brent Burns. Wasn't even a butt end. He actually turned his stick over and overhanded the butt end of his stick into Steve Bernier's face.
As turd-like as he is, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No. No, in fact, I feel so bad for the guy after seeing that clip. I'm not going to call him a turd.
What?
I'm going to say, poor Steve Bernier.
I'm speechless.
Yannick Hansen is no turd, my friend.
No, he's not. He hustles. He's great defensively, but he's never going to be a guy that scores pretty goals. You know, Alex Burrows, when he was playing on the fourth and the third line for the Canucks, you could see that he had hands.
Yep.
When he got in alone on breakaways, he would do absolutely magical things with the puck.
You say magical, I say merely effective. I mean, the guy didn't pull a rabbit out of his shorts and
Must you always put me down?
Yes. Yes, I must. It's what I do. Okay. But it's not like the guy would stick handle the goalie out of his boxers. I mean,
he had some great moves where
he had
did
some
indeed.
Good moves, and he put the puck in the net, and that's why he's on the first line.
And we saw what happened when we put Hansen on the first line. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing at all. What's wrong with Samuelsson?
I want to make a joke about the Swedish Olympic team, but it's been done so many times that I won't bother. He's had chances with the Sedins and nothing. I don't know.
Ryan Kessler has found his form.
Finally.
He's playing with a little bit of sandpaper and he's putting the puck in the net.
Yeah.
Most of his goals now are coming from, you know, the lip of the crease. That's where he needs to score from.
Yes.
So he's playing well. Raymond is still hustling and fast. He's stronger than he was last year. He's strong-arming guys off the puck. I don't see a problem with Raymond, although I would like to see him shoot a little bit more.
Yeah.
We saw what happened when he scored the winning goal against the Leafs. He just put the puck on the net. Good things happened.
Yeah.
It sounds really trite. But it's true. Samuelsson is not playing his best hockey right now at all.
Well, we weren't able to post our preview of the Northwest Division, so our predictions never made it onto this podcast. We have no record of what we think is going to
be. No official record, but we can tell you that we both thought that Vancouver would walk away with the division, and I said they'd be the only team to make the playoffs.
Now, I don't have it here. I definitely remember embarrassing myself by saying that I thought the Calgary Flames were going to make the playoffs, squeaking in into the eighth spot.
And I believe I called you all sorts of names, mostly rhyming with midiot.
Well, you know what? I didn't want to be boring and go with the easy predictions.
Unfortunately, Chris, the Northwest Division is a rather boring division to talk
about.
It
is. So I am now going to alter my prediction. I am going to say that Vancouver is going to be the only team that makes it through out of the Northwest. They're going to finish in second place.
In the conference.
In the conference. Calgary, by the end of this year,
is going to drop down to the AHL.
Is going to have a new coach, a new general manager, and will rally, but it will be too little too late. Commence.
I've already said what I had to say.
That's all you got to say.
All I've got to say. It's a boring division to talk about. It's almost as boring as the Southeast. At least this year, we had a resurgent Tampa Bay Lightning and Steve Yzerman in the GM's box to talk about in the Southeast. But it's all about the Capitals and everybody else missing the playoffs. Here, it's the same thing, but with no resurgence. You've got some exciting young players in Edmonton. You've got a mediocre team in Colorado. You've got a mediocre team in Minnesota. And you've got a crappy team in Calgary.
All right.
That's pretty much all there is, man.
And we can look forward to 24 games over the course of the season against these mediocre opponents.
And crappy
opponents.
Don't forget the crappy opponents. So that's all we have to say about the Northwest. Tune in next time when we will be discussing the All-Star ballot. Thanks, everybody. I woke up in the rain on someone's couch in the lane. I heard the drunken voices dragging on some old refrain. But I'm climbing back on the train. Explain if you'll just let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm
He's distracted by that picture of Ryan Kesler in his boxers that's been circulating.
I think that's a topic for another day, my friend.